The Derek Hunter Show, live from Washington at the Conservative Political Action Conference.
WBAL News Radio 1090.
Welcome back to the show. Hour three is upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Derek Hunter, your Mr. Rourke, for one more hour, taking you down to 3 o'clock for news. And just now walking up, Senator, it is damn good to see you again. Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too, especially on a day like today when the Senate has done something we'll get into in a second. But I heard a little rumor. Your buddy right there behind you is one of my best friends here in Washington.
Yep.
And he told me a rumor that you are a fan of Journey.
Oh, of course.
Journey.
I mean, look, I'm a big fan of classic rock generally, but Journey in particular. I mean, what's not to like there?
They do have some really good songs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Don't Stop Believin' is something of an anthem.
I dare you to not sing that when it's on anybody listening. When it comes up to the end, when you're listening to that in your car, you're bopping your head and you're singing along with that matter what.
It can't not be done. It's impossible.
That's true. That's good science.
Right. It's like telling somebody they can't close their eyes when they sneeze. That's just not going to happen.
There you go. No, I didn't know that. A Journey fan. How did you become a – you're talking original Journey, not the new guy.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, the new guy's great and everything, but the point is they're still singing the same songs.
Right.
And I grew up in the 1980s, and Journey was all the rage then, and appropriately so.
Well, you have never stopped believing, I'll give you that. But what happened in the Senate today is giving a lot of people pause, Senator, to maybe make them stop believing. The Republican Party, the Republican leadership, I should say more specifically, passed a quote-unquote clean Department of Homeland Security funding bill. Give us your thoughts on that, because this is it's the leverage. There was very little leverage after Cromnibus left and the Democrats filibustered. Leadership, did they cave? Do you view this as a cave? Where are you on this?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that we place blame appropriately where the blame is found in greatest abundance. Working back a few weeks, about a month ago, the House of Representatives passed a Department of Homeland Security funding bill.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the Department of Homeland Security funded through the rest of the fiscal year while restricting funds, telling the administration that it could not spend a dime implementing this executive amnesty program implemented by the president a few months ago. Now, we've been trying to get onto that bill in the Senate for going on 4 weeks, and the Democrats have blocked each effort to do that.
Filibustering, when just last year they were complaining about the filibuster.
Right, but this was bald-faced obstructionism. Now, it's true that sometimes Republicans in the last Congress refused to vote for what's called cloture on the motion to proceed. It's a way of getting on to a bill. But we did that when Harry Reid was blocking amendments, when Harry Reid was saying there will be no debate on this. We'll get on to it, and then there will be no amendments. In this instance, the Republican Party has more or less opened up the amendment process in the Senate. Mitch McConnell was telling the Democrats, look, get on to the bill, and I'll let you have amendments. They still refused to let us get on to it.
It really is hypocrisy of the highest order. Now, this bill goes to the House. It's unclear how quickly the House will move on it. The House is expected, I believe, to pass a couple of weeks extension for DHS funding. There's a possibility that the Democrats in the Senate will say, no, you pass what we passed, and or we're blocking everything. I mean, are we really reaching that point? It's almost like a temper tantrum in the toy aisle of a five-year-old who wants a Lego set and just isn't going to get it. Is that a real possibility? Is that what you guys are hearing? That there's going to?
I do think there will be a temporary extension. In other words, I don't think that there is going to be an expiration of funding for the Department of Homeland Security, because I think at least by the end of the day today, when the funding expires, there will be a temporary fix in place, keeping it funded for the next few weeks. Where it goes from there is really up to the American people and up to their elected representatives in the House and in the Senate. And the point that I've been trying to make today and the point that I made on the Senate floor today as we were going through these votes is that we cannot allow the president to act as though he were a government of one. Mm-hmm. He is not. We have a constitution. That constitution puts the legislative power, the power to make law, in the hands of Congress. And if the president of the United States doesn't like our current immigration laws, he needs to go through Congress. He can't just decree it.
My guest is Utah Senator Mike Lee. Now, the president's, there have been a lot of people, Senator, who have, once the district judge in Texas ruled that, at least imposed an injunction on the administration moving forward on this executive amnesty, at least for now, that a lot of Republicans said, well, okay, now we don't have to deal with this because it's going to be handled by the courts, and so far it's going so well. That's like saying we've hit a single in a baseball game. We're going to win this. Let's pull out our big hitters. As a former law clerk at the Supreme Court, as a lawyer, as a constitutional scholar, how does this look on the horizon? It's still going to be a long haul, but constitutionally, I know where you fall down, but explain a little bit why. And as a conservative, you know that that's not always the case. We thought we had Obamacare, a slam dunk. You can't make an individual purchase a private product. And Chief Justice Alito said, well, yes, you can.
No. Chief Justice Roberts, Alito,
was
on the right side. I just wanted to defend my former boss there. Yeah. Yes, it was Chief Justice Roberts who went the wrong way joining the liberals on the court, and I was upset about that at the time. I wrote an e-book about it. I was so upset about it, called Why John Roberts Was Wrong.
What were you trying to say with that title?
yeah, it was really subtle.
Vague.
But my point is that we've got a problem here in that you can't look at what the district court did. The district court entered a preliminary injunction.
It wasn't ruled unconstitutional. They just said, time out, we're still working on the Constitution.
They said it has a high likelihood of being found illegal, and therefore, for the time being, we're going to say that you can't do this. You can't implement this part of the November executive action. Mm-hmm. But there are still lots of additional bites at the apple. The government is now challenging that in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. Beyond that, if they don't get relief there, they might well go up to the Supreme Court. And I don't know if you want me to talk about all the other litigation challenges, because I will bore your listeners to tears.
Just in general, because people think that they're off. You know, this is a stop. They've stopped it, and it's not the case.
There are actually likely to be three different series of appellate challenges in this, the first two of which are likely to occur in the next few days to few weeks. Few months at the most. The point is, we don't know how that litigation is going to turn out, and I think it would be unwise for us to proceed as if that preliminary injunction is going to stick.
You would think that Republicans would have learned from Obamacare to relying on the courts. Like, okay, we are going to rely on the courts. The courts don't have you never know, really. I mean, as somebody who worked on the Supreme Court, I imagine your time there as a clerk, you saw things that surprised you. You thought it was going to go one way, and it went the other way. So it's little comfort to conservatives to rely on the Supreme Court. We should never rely on the Supreme Court to back us up, because you have to win the battle.
Hey, that's exactly right. And in fact, I've written an entire book just about that comes out April 7th. It's called Our Lost Constitution. And the gist of that book is, we have to get away from the idea that so many of us have that the Constitution is something that only the courts worry about, or that the legislative branch can just say, well, we defer to the courts on that issue. A lot of problems have occurred as a result of the fact that members of Congress and presidents have taken that approach. And in the process, they stop reading the Constitution. They stop taking personal responsibility with what they themselves have an obligation to defend under the Constitution.
Last question for you, Senator Lee, and I appreciate you stopping by. How much of this sort of concept is the blame of Congress, not the current one per se, but past Congresses, writing vague laws that say the secretary shall figure, basically, I want the government to do this, the secretary will figure out how to do it best. It used to be, first of all, we didn't pass massive complicated laws, and they were very specific about what you could and could not do. Now it's, we want X done, figure out later how to do it. How much of this blame do you lay? Because that's a major power shift from the legislative branch to the executive branch to pass sort of vague laws.
I'm going to make a lot of people unhappy with what I'm about to say in response to that question, but almost all of it is Congress's fault. We're kidding ourselves. If we think that we can come up with a system of laws that delegates all of this lawmaking power to the executive branch, we're kidding ourselves. If we don't think presidents, Democrats and Republicans are alike, are going to abuse that. We're kidding ourselves if we don't think that's going to result in an erosion of not only our constitutional order, but also liberty itself. So, yeah, this is Congress's fault. It is overwhelmingly Congress's fault, and we've got to turn it back.
I want to stand up and cheer you if we're on the radio, but, no, that's the exact answer I was hoping to hear. Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, always a pleasure. Thank you so much
for
stopping by. You're listening to Derek Hunter Show on WBAL. We will be right back. Stick around.